Hello and welcome to Burst Today's show, South Coast Fun Factories. I'm Sophie Tizet, joined with Adam Stock to discuss today's topics, the entertainment boom currently developing in Bournemouth.
With bars and restaurants opening up on every other street, some cafes are even requesting alcohol licences. But many wonder if the growth is a positive one, arguing that the influx of students is causing disruption in the coastal town.
On today's show, we will be asking, are students a help or a hindrance to Bournemouth? Is local entertainment catering for a large enough demographic? And what does 2016 have in store for locals?
Festivals taking place this summer include Bournemouth Sevens, Isle of Wight Festival, Bestival and Wills Festival. The reasoning behind this entertainment boom is the rise in student population within the local area.
Of Bournemouth's total population, 3.3% are aged 85 or over. However, the largest group of people moving into the area are students in the 16 to 24 year age group, and 9% of the current population are between 20 and 24. What this shows is that Bournemouth is currently growing in terms of student population. So are students contributing to the local society, or are they causing problems for the residents?
We're exploring popular festivals around the South Coast that are catering for both students and the older generation.
To further discuss this, we are joined by Bournemouth Tourism Marketing Coordinator, Samantha Williams.
Hi Samantha, thanks for joining us today. Okay, moving on. Moving on to Stefan from BID, Bournemouth.
We now welcome Stefan from Bournemouth Coastal Business Improvement District for more information about the upcoming events in the area.
And now we have Ross Maguire, a festival attender from the Isle of Wight, who has recently moved to Bournemouth. He gives us views about the effect that the festival has on his island and how it affects his commute to the island. Hello, Ross.
Good afternoon.
So, Ross, I understand that you're from the Isle of Wight. And it's the home of the Isle of Wight Festival. And this festival is known for its, you know, large number of people. Why do you think that this festival appeals so much to all ages?
Well, I'd say the heritage that it's had behind it, because it started in 1969, I believe. And then I think that started out with 200,000 to 300,000 people. And then they had the 1970 one, which is what one of the most famous festivals going around in history. And it was 600,000, I think, which led to the Isle of Wight Act being passed, which prevents any large gatherings of people to have over more than 5,000 people without a special licence.
And do you know exactly how many festivals are regulated by this act?
I believe it's only the Isle of Wight. From what I've read so far.
And do you believe that more festivals should be adoptive of this approach?
I believe so, because I've been to some festivals. I can't remember which ones they were, but there have been a large amount of people, and it does get a bit uncontrollable sometimes.
And what has changed on the island for the festival since this dilemma?
It's made it more regulated, is able to have it more of a controlled area, and it's reduced complaints. But they've had noise complaints in the past from it, but the way they got around that was to offer within, I think it's within a 3 mile radius of the festival site, they offer residents living there a free festival ticket, so they can enjoy the same experience as everyone else and so they don't criticise him.
So the Isle of Wight Act that they introduced, it required a special licence for a festival to be held if the attendance is above 5,000. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So does it affect any other festivals, do you know?
I believe it affects all the other festivals on the Isle of Wight, such as Bestival, Rhythm Tree, Mondo Mix, and so forth.
And in your opinion, do you think that more festivals should adopt a similar approach to that?
I believe so, yeah.
And how does it affect you whilst being on the island, and now that you're a student in Bournemouth, will it affect you getting back to the Isle of Wight?
I believe so, because when the Isle of Wight Festival happens this year, which I believe is the 9th to the 12th of June, it affects all the ferry crossings.
Mm-hmm.
So the prices go up because they know they're going to get a huge sum of money and increase tourism as a result. And there's going to be more and more delays because most of the boats are going to be fully booked. And personally, I was planning to go back home for that weekend, but as it stands, I can't,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Is this obviously because of the Isle of Wight Festival? Would it be easier for you to go back before or after the festival?
Before and after. Most likely, yeah.
And finally,
Has the festival affected the community on the Isle of Wight?
I believe so, because it gives us something to do as well, because on the Isle of Wight there isn't actually as much to do in Bournemouth, well, compared to Bournemouth. But it's nice having famous big bands come to the Isle of Wight and get that kind of experience and euphoria that you mainly get, like, mainland England, as well as like Europe and, well, anywhere else in the world.
Well, Ross, thank you very much for joining us.
That's
today.
Right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, so the inspiration behind the boom in the entertainment industry in the area is due to the rise of the student population.
And since the introduction of the Licensing Act in 2003, shops and venues must apply through the council in order to sell alcohol, regulated entertainment and late night refreshment. This is common in most public houses and nightclubs, but recently more commercial shops are applying for the ability to either start selling or extend the hours so that they can sell beverages to the public. Local businesses, such as Cafe Fresco, have been successful in their application to Bournemouth Council, but for other businesses, such as the off-licence situated on Exeter Road, have had backlashes from Dorset Police for seeking an extension on their trading hours.
A letter of consideration delivered to the Council's Licensing Board, written by PC Steve Lemon, licensing officer for Poole, cited the right to refuse new application in areas where crime is high. Antisocial behaviour throughout the year of 2015 was the most frequent crime committed in the town centre. Another recommendation made by Lemon was that the council should consider the volume of nightclubs within the area. Lemon stated in his letter, giving persons already intoxicated the opportunity to purchase further alcohol outside of a licensed premises causes concern. Potentially, this could make life for the emergency services difficult if more shops like this apply for the license.
However, not every application is refused. Cafe Fresco, situated on Christchurch Road, were recently in the bid to sell alcoholic beverages between 11 and 11 p.m. at night, and to include a terrace in their licensed area. Dorset Police recommended to the board that the granting of this licence should be reconsidered due to several factors in the local area.
Police believed that the grant would increase levels of crime and disorder in the local area, which were previously already high. Police also argued that there were too many licensed properties within the area already, such as Turtle Bay and the development of restaurants on Exeter Road. Solicitors representing the cafe were able to counter-argue the refusal as the information provided by the opposition was too vague, without any specific evidence. Earlier today, I spoke to the manager of Bar Revolution in Bournemouth, Andrew Risk, about how he finds the student culture in Bournemouth today, running such a popular bar and restaurant.
Today, we don't really get that many students here, especially on Fridays and Saturdays. That's our two busiest nights, and the age group around there is 30 above. We don't tend to get that many young students in here. I think that's mainly because you've got the likes of Cameo down the road, you've got Walkabout, and you've got Old Fire Station up there as well. So they do student nights throughout the week. So we don't really tend to get them students. The only time we'll get them is, you know, say we want to come here for some shots or whatever before the Cameo night out. That's the only time we'll see the students. Yeah.
Okay. And would you say that students are an asset to the town?
To the town, I would say yeah, because Bournemouth University now is definitely growing bigger and bigger. And there are more people coming down to Bournemouth because it's definitely becoming a party town now, I think. You know, what with all the clubs, you know, Cameo's going for a refurb, Walkabout's going for a refurb, we've just gone for one ourselves. I feel like the nightlife is definitely, it's getting bigger and bigger, and old people are getting more and more angry at it, I think.
And would you say that maybe the locals find it annoying
definitely.
That there's so many
so
students?
Many, yeah. Oh, the amount of over 50s, over 60s that you get in there going, oh, them students being too loud or anything like this. You're getting more and more people like that now.
Do you get personally complaints from your 55 plus customers about students and antisocial behaviour in the area?
Not personally to us, but when we ask them to fill out feedback, say when they've been dining, then they'll put a comment on there saying, I feel like the students are a bit too loud, they need to try and, you know, dine them down a bit, you know, keep them quiet. But yeah, it's just like, well, they're bringing in more money rather than spending money on alcohol, you're just having a lunch, you know, just having a lunch dinner, that's all you're having. So.
And what is your personal opinion on students in the local area? Do you think they bring more good than bad?
I mean, being a student, I've been in that position where, you know, you are that annoying student. So you just been like, oh, I've got to have sympathy for him because I was in that position before. So they are good in the sense they do bring custom here and there. But then when they're being drunk and just starting fights for no reason, you're just like, oh, just go home, please, and just go home and have a quiet night. And that's what I see for students these days. Yeah.
And can you talk about your student nights? I know you've had a few, but I also know that you don't really host that many anymore. Why is that?
I think the students didn't really go off as such. I don't think we were ever going to rival the likes of, say, the ones down at Cameo on Wednesdays, Lost on Mondays, Bonsai. I think it was very difficult to, you know, surpass that. It was always really difficult. We did one last year called Flavour. I think the first couple of weeks it wasn't that busy, but then the students came back after Easter. And then the next 2-3 weeks it was really busy, so we were like, I think if we kind of try to boost that again, it'd be kind of good. But at the moment, I think we're just doing well, you know, as we are at the moment. So, yeah.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you. Well, that was Drew from Bar Revolution in Bournemouth telling us about how students affect his restaurant and bar. So with festival season approaching, South Coast will be home to many festivals. For example, we have Bournemouth Sevens, described as the world's largest sport and musical festival, with around 30,000 people attending, which is happening this weekend with guest performances from Fat Man Scoop and General Levi. This year, they are also providing a family day on Sunday with activities to suit everyone. Ticket prices vary from £50 to £60.
Bournemouth's Wheel Festival is returning for its third year on the 3rd to the 5th of June, providing 3 days of fast-moving stunts and monster bike shows for free.
Down in Bournemouth Town Centre, a food and drink festival happening on the 17th to the 26th of June will offer 10 days of celebrating with live entertainment.
And the Isle of Wight Festival started as one of the UK's first major festivals and has now successfully been running for 45 years. Here is their newest advert for the event from the 9th to the 12th of June.
Summer is fast approaching, and with it brings the Isle of Wight Festival. With headliners The Who, Queen with Adam Lambert, Faithless, and Stereophonics. Get your tickets now. Absoluteradio.co.uk/tickets. The 2016 Isle of Wight Festival. Be there.
And if music is not for you, Bournemouth are hosting their annual Free Air Festival on the seafront from the 18th to the 21st of August.
We now welcome Stefan from Bournemouth Coastal Business Improvement District for more information about the upcoming events in the area.
Hello, Stefan here.
Hello, Stefan. Thank you for talking to us today.
Our pleasure to be there. Thank you.
So we have a few questions for you today.
Okay.
Would you be able to tell us a little bit about the events that are going on in Bournemouth this year?
Yes, I think it was on air just now already, where it was promoted the Food and Drink Festival, which is upcoming. Beforehand is, of course, the Wheels Festival,
yes.
Which kicks off on the 3rd of June to the 5th of June. Then, of course, the big one for us is in August with the Air Festival along the seafront. But there's even more going on. So, for example, in Westbourne, Foodie Heaven, in Boscombe, World Cuisine, they celebrate just now Love Your Local Market with their local markets every Thursday and Saturday. And Southbourne, of course, will have with Wheels on the Saturday the show with supercars. And Welcome Back to Southbourne is another activity running over June. So the next 4 to 6 weeks are really busy in our area to promote the suburbs, Boscombe, Westbourne, Southbourne, but also the signature events like Air Festival and Wheels.
Yes, so that's all very busy. And do you think... Do you think more people from around the UK and maybe other countries will come to these events as well and not just the local people?
From the marketing as it is laid out at the moment, our inbound marketing is in around about 1.5 and 2 hours drive time. So there is specific marketing always ongoing in the south of London. We are going less international with our inbound marketing, but we know that we reach a huge audience via AFC Bournemouth, who are in the Premier League. For example, they are the third most watched Premier League club in the States, and Bournemouth Tourism was just running a huge video campaign in South America and in the Latin American countries to promote studying in Bournemouth. So yes, there is also an outreach internationally, but I wouldn't expect that there will be a huge increase of visitors outside our traditional catchment area in this year.
Very good, thank you. And I can see that one of your main objectives is to provide visitors and local people with reasons to spend more time in the local coastal businesses. How do you do this for people age 55 and over?
Yeah, this is especially that we promote dwell time in those areas. So what we do in our campaigns is not only saying, okay, come for 1 or 2 hours, this or that show is on. What we really do is that we promote the overall offer so that people can make a day out of it. And also what we did this spring, especially the whole spring campaign, was this cross-marketing. So to say you can do the walking, you can do the cycling, but you can also visit the suburbs for the high tea, therapy, and we have a lot of hotels with spa offer, which then rounds up to increase dwell time. And the experience which we have is that the average spend in locations is going up. So that's what business reporting us back.
Yeah.
So it looks that this package is building and package is offering is coming to fruition.
Okay. And how do you aim to improve everyone's experiences and to encourage repeat visits to Bournemouth for the older generation?
This is where we start to work. And as you know, Bournemouth won also via Bournemouth Tourism an award, how mm-hmm. we deal with coach operators and how we create welcome packages for those who are coming by coaches. And the 55 plus audience, which we classify as a very active community, is then the one which especially is going for the leisure offer, which is the cycling, the walking, but also to be out and about with their family members and with the dogs. So that the promotion is focusing in those areas, but also from the campaigning, so going into the mm-hmm. Coast magazine, going into national newspapers. Yeah, so that's then really targeted to these audiences to show what Bournemouth has to offer, again, yeah. as a package for a day out or even for a weekend stay or for 2-3 days in Bournemouth. Yeah.
And also, do you find that the events that you sponsor target a wide audience? So not only the older generation, but also you do well enough to provide enough entertainment for the younger generation?
Last year, Westbourne tried something completely new, which was the summer festival, to reach a wider audience. So that was really then from live music on the street with the buskers, but also then specific offers in the restaurants and pubs and bars to fill a full day. The footfall in Southbourne on wheels comes to Southbourne, 17,500, was again across all audiences, from the supercars, which attracts, you know, the fathers and the family so that the ladies could go shopping. In the evening, there was a stage going on with a rock concert, which attracted then younger people. So what we do, we classify the targeted audience into clusters. In reality, there is the young audience and the student audience,
yeah,
followed by the audience 35 plus to 55, mm-hmm, and then 55 plus. Yeah, so as it is with the Air Festival, as it is with Wheels, you know, to create those packages which so that everybody can pick and choose what they like.
Okay, well, Stefan, that's all we have time for today. But thank you very much for all your lovely answers. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. And I hope we also have a chance to enjoy the sun today.
Thank you very much.
That's very beautiful, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Bye. So Bournemouth's entertainment industry is currently undergoing many alterations, and over the next year, many changes are continuing to be made in the town. New leisure complexes, restaurants, bars and cafes are all contributing to the regeneration of the town.
But perhaps having more entertainment venues could mean more antisocial behaviour amongst students on the south coast. Between August 2015 and March 2016, 372 domestic noise reports outside of normal hours were made, and this could be increased over the course of this year with the opening of new establishments who have the ability to provide alcohol and other forms of entertainment. The area is mostly affected by this antisocial behaviour, according to the letters from PC Steve Lemon, are that of Bournemouth Square, which is home to several nightclubs, and Horseshoe Common.
Whilst many believe that students may be causing issues in the town in terms of antisocial behaviour, they do effectively contribute financially to the town, with students all over the country contributing around £2 billion into the economy.
Chloe Smith, Bournemouth University Student Union President, has joined us in the studio today to provide her personal opinions on this topic. Hello, Chloe.
Hiya.
Thanks for joining us today.
No worries.
I believe I'm correct in saying that you finished your final year of your degree in 2014?
Yes, that's correct.
And how has Bournemouth changed over the past from when you first came here as a fresher to this present day?
I think it's changed. I think students have definitely changed, and I think fees have done a lot to change the behaviour of students. And I actually think in terms of nightclub entertainment, I actually think that's kind of dipped a little bit and maybe gone back up, but it's definitely changed in terms of a lot more bars, a lot more cafes. Nightlife is increasing, but maybe not necessarily. I don't think I've seen lots of nightclubs, even in 5 years, come and go, and lots of festivals come and go as well. So I think that's still varying.
And in your opinion, what is the biggest asset that students bring to Bournemouth?
I think one is the work they do in the local community. I think that often can get overlooked, the amount of hours that students put into working with local businesses and volunteering and fundraising. And I think they just bring a different element to the town, which I think creates a nice kind of atmosphere, a nice vibe about it.
And what would you say to the people who claim that students have a negative impact on Bournemouth?
I can completely understand where they're coming from. I think it's very difficult, particularly in Winton. It's very difficult if you have a family, for example, in a road like Cardigan Road, where there's 80-90% of the roads houses of students. If they live next door to a bunch of students that can be noisy and go out, have parties every night and all the rest of it, of course they're going to think that it's negative impact. And I think it's our job to educate those students on the impact they might be having on their neighbours, and remembering that not everyone who lives in a student road is a student. Yeah.
And what challenges have you faced in preparation for the summer balls in terms of licensing and noise levels?
I think the biggest challenge is, again, going back to the students in Winton and in other places, making sure that they understand the risks of noise and even things like burglaries, because it's the prime day for burglaries in the summer ball is, because they know that they're all out on town. But in terms of kind of licensing, I mean, the summer ball's been going for 20 years, so that's kind of under control. We do things like we work with the council on the survivors photo. We give all the local residents around the area either a free ticket or we put them up in a hotel for the night. The licensing kind of side of things is it's had 20 years of practice. The challenges are when new festivals come and go and they don't do as good a job, that puts a negative impact on things like the Summer Ball. So if there's a new festival that comes up, which I've seen a couple in the last few years, and they have a negative impact on the local community, then we have to do extra work to make up for it.
Can you tell me a time that you've personally experienced antisocial behaviour?
I guess I've just personally seen, I attend Winton residence meetings now, and I see a lot of the other side of the coin of families and elderly residents who live next door to noisy students or students that might not really realise the implications of what they're doing. And you really do see there are people in Winton whose lives genuinely are seriously, seriously affected. And yes, I think that's the best experience I've had is realising that other side of the coin, which I didn't even occur to me when I was a student to even think about.
It's just, Winton is primarily a student town, and you've got students coming and going each and every hour
definitely.
Of every single day. And what would you recommend as a solution to
I think
problems?
It's just educating students. And it's tricky. It's tricky. We have a group of student community wardens, and that is their job. They work in Winton every week to go and do just that. But it's difficult finding the balance of if you answered your door and you lived in Winton, a student said, I'll bring your bins in, you're probably not going to respond to them. So it's finding the balance of making sure the wardens come across and us in the student union. We're not trying to dictate to students what they have to do or trying to tell them off. We're just trying to give them some advice about how to live better with the local residents that they're around.
Mm. I see from the SUBU website that one of your manifesto points states that in your term you have committed to more environmental schemes. Mm. One of the main gripes of the locals is the waste left by students after nights out. What actions did you take this term to maintain the values?
We review with the community wardens how they can best put across those messages to students, so they're coming across almost like an older sibling, and not, you know, trying to tell them what to do to be most effective. We introduced for this year, so starting next month, will be the first ever vice president of the community.
All right.
So we introduce that so that there's a dedicated person mm-hmm. that can actually kind of work on those issues together.
Absolutely.
And we also worked with the council last year to do the Big Give campaign, which is happening again this year. Which is basically in a term the council went around and collected all the old students' old belongings and we donated them to all local charity shops in Winton. So it was just to show the residents that we do understand there's a problem and we're trying to do something about it.
What date does this charity event
There's collection points on campus already now. So there's one in the student centre and I think there's one in the atrium. And from the end of this month, actually, from next week until all the way throughout June, the council will be going around Winton and collecting students' belongings. Mm-hmm. So if they just leave them out the front, the council will come and collect them. Yeah.
And our final question, including AUB, there are almost 22,000 students enrolled into Bournemouth Uni or AUB, but has, you know, Bournemouth got enough space to cater for all these students?
I think that's definitely a question to be asked. And I think the university know that there's a danger that you know, it's a fine line, particularly the amount of students who don't get the right housing and, in the second and third years can't get housing. So I think the university know, and it's definitely a question they need to make sure that they're always taken into account.
Thank you for joining us today, Chloe.
So today we have looked at the South Coast entertainment boom and the biggest festivals that bring together locals of all ages. Our guests have provided insight into anti-student behaviour of students, suggesting that they offer a range of pros and cons for the community.
We've also covered local festivals, and I would like to thank our guests for joining us, Ross Maguire and Chloe Smith, SUBU President. And if you want any more information, please feel free to look on the Bournemouth Tourism website. And that's it for now. If you enjoyed today's show, a podcast will be available on the Burst website shortly. Thank you and goodbye.